Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, whatever your insurance needs may be, Purdy Insurance will find you the best price. They'll find you exactly the insurance you need so you're completely covered. They'll update that policy whenever needed. Oh, and by the way, if there's ever a claim, they will go to work as if it happened to them. They're your partner. Customer service means everything to them. The pros in insurance, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Before we get to Bryson Stott of the Cutters, our play-by-play call of the day. Kyle Schwarber gets it done for the Cubs.
From the stretch, the pitch. Schwarber drives one in the air. Get out the tape measure. Grand slam. Grand slam, Kyle Schwarber. Cubs lead 4-0. Into the second deck. Almost into the third deck.
And that's a call of Pat Hughes on the Cubs Radio Network. Kyle Schwarber at one point played his collegiate baseball at Indiana, which meant he played against Penn State. Well, not playing against Penn State because he played his collegiate ball and played his entire life in Las Vegas at UNLV as Bryson Stott, 14th overall pick in the draft, going to the Phillies on his off day. He's spending it a few minutes with us. Bryson, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, first of all, how did you spend your off day?
Just hanging out. Just letting our bodies recover and hanging around the house and grab some dinner in a bit and just relax.
What kind of adjustment has it been to go from UNLV and playing your entire life in Las Vegas to now playing in Williamsport, Pennsylvania?
It's different for sure. I mean, you don't have your whole family and your friends in the stands every day, and just the city itself is a bit of a change for me, going from a huge city like Las Vegas to Williamsport has definitely been a culture change for me, and I mean, it's good to come out and see the rest of the country.
Have your parents had a chance to come there yet?
My mom and my girlfriend and my mom's friend are going to come out on Thursday because we have that little homestand, so it was a perfect time for them to come out, and my mom will jump on any opportunity she can to come watch me play, so it'll be good to have my mom in the stands again.
All right. Growing up, obviously, your dad played football at UNLV back in the late 80s, early 90s. Did you have any interest in football growing up, or for you was it always baseball, and why?
Football was, I mean, I'd always go outside and we'd play that two-hand touch in the street and go to the park and such. I played football my freshman year of high school, and then it was kind of baseball ever since. So growing up, I was never really that much into football, but all my friends that I was friends with in middle school, high school, and even today, they were big football guys. So I was like, I'll give it a shot. I mean, my friends are doing it, so why don't I? So my dad was really happy that I was playing football, and then when I kind of broke the news to him that I was sticking with baseball, it wasn't the best combo, but I think he got over it.
I think so too. I think you're going to be just fine when it comes to that. You went to UNLV, which meant obviously you stuck around near home. Obviously, what was it like for you? Was there any hometown pressure because you grew up there? Were there any other possibilities that you looked at before settling on UNLV?
Yeah, I mean, I've had my recruiting season going on and stuff of that nature to leave town. And originally, I wanted to leave town. I wanted to go somewhere else and experience the college experience and being away from home. But Coach Stolte and Coach Higgins, they were probably the best coaching staff that I've talked to when I was going through that, just the way they treated you like family, and just going up there and seeing the blueprints for the new clubhouse that we got, and the stuff that they had going on was kind of easy for me just to stay home and pretty much play in my backyard.
Well, and they churn out prospects out of UNLV. It's the 36th consecutive year that UNLV has had at least one player drafted by a major league team. And you ended up being the fourth first-round pick in the history of the program. What did that mean to you, and what was draft day like?
I mean, it's awesome. I mean, anytime you could hear your name called in any professional draft is a dream come true. And to be just the fourth first-round selection out of that great school, like you said, I mean, they turn regular players into major league prospects every year. And just having my first 2 years, having some guys that were going pretty high and having them teach me kind of the ropes and what it takes to be there was huge for me. And just being able to kind of put UNLV and that program on the map was really awesome for me. And it worked out for everybody.
Bryson, I'll ask you one more UNLV question, then I'll get to what you're doing right now with the Cutters. The question is this: when did you start to feel like some parts of your game started to click in on the collegiate level that then started sending you upward?
I started as a freshman, and I started the season probably the first month. I was hitting 470, and I was like, this is great. This is like high school. I'm doing great, hitting 470 a month into my college career. And then I went four for maybe 60, 65. So I really went into a big slump, and the coaches and my players were just like, this is baseball. You're going to be better after this. And so just kind of dealing with that failure, my freshman year being that young and on that level was great for me. And then going out to the Northwoods League with the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and had a great summer there, and Coach Noto was the head coach there, and he was always on me about getting better each day, and you never want to waste a day. So I'd say going to the Northwoods and having that kind of that big slump my freshman year really is what kicked it off for me.
It's humbling, isn't it? I mean, it's incredibly humbling.
Yeah.
What I've found interesting over the years, Bryson, and the players I've talked with, you know, I'll talk about, hey, you're going pretty well right now. I don't ask these questions anymore because of these answers. You're going pretty well right now. You're a 7-game hitting streak. You always get the sense, yeah, I'm one at bat away from a slump. So
yeah,
I don't talk about that anymore.
Try not to use that S word. So,
right.
I mean, it's baseball. You're not going to get a hit every time, and you just got to understand that and just keep swinging.
I don't care if I'm talking to Saquon Barkley or Sean Lee, a couple of guys that went to Penn State that I broadcast their games. When I talk to them about going to the pros, they talk about the business of it. It's different than college. On this level at Williamsport, have you felt that business aspect yet of being a professional, or does it still have some collegiate feel to it?
I wouldn't say I really fit the business part yet, and it still doesn't feel like college because you're obviously getting paid to do what you love, and this is your job now. So that kind of takes the college out of it, but you definitely hear about the business part and you definitely experience it, but I'd say it doesn't feel like college really.
Has there been an adjustment to this level on your part?
Yeah, of course. I mean, at UNLV, you play a midweek game, and then you have two days off, and then you have the three games in a row on the weekend, and then you have another day or two off, and then you do it again. So just the everyday playing and such has been the biggest change, I'd say, from college.
Have you felt you just referenced that, so let's get to the grind part. Have you felt the grind yet where it's like your body saying, geez, I played 7, 8, 9 days in a row where a day off like today really helps, but have you started to feel that grind in some ways?
Of course you feel it. I mean, you're not going to feel the best every day, but this is what I signed up for, and I mean, if I'm going to be out there, I'm going to want to play. So just being able to play every day and go through this has really been awesome.
what's still fun about the game for you?
I'd say everything. I mean, I've been playing since I was 3, 4, 5 years old, so just to keep playing as long as I can and never losing. I mean, I'm never going to lose love for the game, even when my time's done. So just being able to get out here and play with these guys and the new friends and the new teammates you make along the way is probably one of my favorite parts.
Now, something that the Cardinals organization did this year for the first time that we're seeing with the state college spikes is something the Phillies have done for a few years, that after they've drafted a player, they'll send them to Florida for a few games, and then they move them to the New York Penn League. You ended up with 4 games down there. Did that acclimation help you in any way?
Absolutely. I mean, I was there for almost 2 weeks, and the first week was just practice and getting me ready to play those games, and then they really ease you into it and make sure you're ready to move up and make sure you're as comfortable as possible.
So from here now, you want to improve on an everyday basis. What are the one or two areas in your game, whether in the field or at the plate, where you say to yourself, I could be a better player if I do this?
I'd say obviously you're never going to be too good at hitting. So, I mean, you could always work on your swing and work on your mechanics and stuff like that and making sure your swing is as fine-tuned as possible. And so you could repeat it at bat to at bat. And obviously your first jumps in the field, on the bases, just anything of that nature you could always improve on. So that's stuff I work on every day, and you can never have too good of a swing or too good of a first step, for sure.
Are you a Vegas Golden Knights fan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because, I mean, of all the things that came out of nowhere, you're probably the last thing you expected in your hometown to have the first professional team be hockey.
Yeah, it was, I mean, when they were talking about it, me and some of the locals were like, a hockey team here, and how is it going to work out? And they really, the Knights really took over that city and really brought the whole city together. And it's been great. And seeing the success they've had has been awesome.
Yeah, because they just were finishing the arena the last time I was in Vegas. I was there to do a tournament at Orleans Arena, and they were just finishing the arena. It was gorgeous. Then the Raiders decided to move. Hey, do you have a pro football team? And if you do, will you switch to the Raiders?
No Raiders for me. My mom and my brother like the my mom and my brother like the Raiders, but I mean, I don't think I'm going to be able to switch over. I mean, I'm going to go to some of the games because that new stadium they're building is incredible, and just you see the blueprints and how it's coming along. It's gonna be something special there, and I can't wait to see when it's finished.
Yeah, in fact, they're going to be in the Big Ten bowl rotation at some point down the road, so there might be an opportunity for me to go do one there. But who's your football team?
I mean, I like the Browns. I would cheer for the Browns, but kind of a rough team to root for. So, I mean, I'll follow certain players around and keep track of them.
Bryson, this might be your year, though. This might be the Browns' year. This could be it.
Yeah, I mean, you can never have your hopes too high with them. So, just win a couple games.
Just remember, for your father's sake, okay?
Yeah.
That one of the truly great Eagles of all time was Randall Cunningham out of UNLV.
That's right. Cunningham is still around UNLV, and they let you know that he's one of the best to do it, and that's where he came from. So it's pretty awesome.
And not only that, but you know what? Cunningham at UNLV was not just a terrific quarterback. He was an excellent punter at UNLV. The guy could kick. So there you go. Oh, Bryson, I'm here to drop some knowledge on you about your hometown. Come on, man. Hey, you enjoy the rest of your day off. When the Spikes and Cutters get together again, probably next month, I may run into you before I do the game, whatever. But it's great that you took some time on your off day to be with us today. And obviously, if the Phillies are drafting character, we can tell in this interview why they drafted you.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Bryson Stott, first round pick of the Phillies, 14th overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft. Look, you can see when, you know, I've obviously done a few of his games already. You can see he's got a great makeup on the field. Good swing, good bat. Off the air, we asked him about the suit. He seems to get it. We'll come back with what? We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, so one baseball trade made today as Jordan Lyles goes back to the Milwaukee Brewers. And so it'll be a second turn through with the Brewers, and Cody Ponce, who's a double-A pitcher, is going to go to the Pirates. And so we'll see if the Pirates put him in Altoona or Indianapolis. So Lyles was actually supposed to start tonight for the Pirates against the Reds, and they'll go with a secondary option there. So that's the one trade that has been made so far. Also, you notice down in Ravens camp, who got hurt? RG3 got hurt. Guess at the moment who the number two quarterback is in Baltimore. Trace McSorley. Peter King went to Ravens camp and said what he noticed. He said, look, it's just, and he prefaced it, look, it's one practice, one look, but how well Lamar Jackson was throwing the ball. Lamar Jackson last year had 170 attempts passing and 148 rushing. And Jackson's very upfront and plain about it. He says, look, I've got to be a better thrower. Okay, hey. See, that's great. If you recognize what you need to do, that makes a big difference. Now, it's like the old adage, the first step to recovery is knowing that you have a problem. Well, for a guy like Jackson, he knows he has to throw the ball better. So he's worked hard in throwing the ball better. But yeah, RG3 got hurt. Golden Tate, expect a suspension for him. He was taking a drug, a fertility drug, because he, you know, he and his wife want to have a baby. Well, then he notices whatever through either the listing or whatever it may be that there's a banned substance involved in what he was taking. So he did get a hold of the league right away and so forth. And eventually he does test positive. But here's the issue. That's a tough excuse. But I think the league's got to probably stay with what its policy is. Even though it's not, it's even though it, you understand what the circumstances are. Next, Steve Ballmer. He is the owner of the LA Clippers. So they acquire Paul George, they sign Kawhi Leonard, and they have suddenly put themselves in an incredible position. Well, Ballmer is worth so much money He bought the Clippers for $2 billion, and it barely made a dent in what he was doing. It's like when Tepper bought the Carolina Panthers. Remember when Tepper bought the Carolina, David Tepper, who was a minority owner with the Steelers? He paid cash, $2.2 billion here. Cash, check, what do you need? I mean, the suit goes over to Sheetz, and he's scrounging underneath trying to find coins for his Slurpee. I mean, come on.
Not good.
In a lot of ways. Ballmer is an incredible amount of cash. So guess what? He is now open two areas. One, he wants to build the Clippers their own arena. Right now they're in Staples, thus they share it with the Lakers. He wants to build a new arena in Inglewood. So it's their building. And number two, he's actually open to changing the name. He says he has no plans of moving the team out of L.A. That's why he's looking at Inglewood. But he says he'd like to establish a new identity for the Clippers. Interesting. Of course, you know what happens when you change the name of a team like that. You know, you're not talking about a legacy team like the Lakers or the Celtics, you know, or the Bruins or the Giants or the Steelers, something like that. You're not talking about a legacy team. The Clippers are not a legacy team. And at one point, they were the Buffalo Braves. But you know what that means, Sean, if they were to change the name of the team? All new merchandise. They changed the name, the logo, all new merchandise. And if they're as good as they hope to be with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, that merchandise might be worth a lot more.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Whether it's auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be, maybe it's a bundle, but they'll find you the best insurance so you're covered. They will also find you the best price. And if there's ever, along the line, an adjustment needed, or if there's ever along the line a need for the insurance, they will go to work as if it happened to them. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. See what the Dolphins did today? Pat Flaherty, Brian Flores is the head coach. So he hires Pat Flaherty, longtime pros pro, as an offensive line coach. And Flaherty along the way. By the way, and Pat was here, by the way, for two seasons at Penn State. I don't think a lot of people realize that. He was here at Penn State working with Dick Anderson in 82 and 83. And then when Dick took the head coaching job at Rutgers, Pat went with him. So Pat Flaherty's been here at Penn State before. And before that, by the way, he was the offensive line coach at East Stroudsburg, which I believe had a quarterback by the name of James Franklin. But Pat gets a job as the offensive line coach for the Dolphins. And, I mean, this guy has coached for, you know, Tom Coughlin. They won a couple Super Bowls, so he's got Super Bowl rings. He's been with Chip Kelly. He's been with Dick Geron. He's been with Norv Turner. He's been with Doug Marrone. So now he takes this job with the Dolphins. There's a certain offensive system they want to put in, and I guess he was struggling implementing the blocking scheme with it. Right? He's been on the job 5 months. With their third day at camp, they fired him today.
On the third day of camp, they fired him. Wow. And by the way, Flaherty's an East Stroud grad, just so you know. They fired him today. 3 days into camp. Okay, now the first game of the preseason is coming up on Thursday. Sean, will you watch?
Go ahead and ask me that one more time.
The first game of the preseason in the NFL is Thursday when the Falcons take on the Broncos.
Oh, for the Hall of Fame game.
Yes. Will you watch?
Yeah, probably. Just to get my football fix. Not the whole 3 hours, but a little
bit. Couple series.
All yeah, because right. Then they have some. They'll talk to some of the, you know, Alan Chris will talk to some of the Hall of Famers and Michelle. I'll probably watch that.
I'll watch a series or two. That'd be about it. Now, here's something very interesting about the Hall of Fame. Good friend of this show and a good friend of the Valley is Andy Russell, right? And Fritz Heinemann's done a great job with everything. You know how strongly Jack Ham feels about Andy being in the Hall of Fame, of which, too, I have obviously echoed that sentiment about I strongly feel Andy should be in the Hall of Fame. Well, try this slice of knowledge on. Now, what's the max number in the Hall of Fame they can put in? 8, correct? 5 of them by the voters, then 2 veterans, and then a third contributor usually, right? So 8. This is the 100th season of the NFL. The NFL was founded in that showroom in Canton in 1920. So while this is the 100th season in 2019, next year is the 100th anniversary. For the 100th anniversary, they're going to put 20 people into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. How about that? This now opens the door for several players to maybe get in. That have either been stalled along the way because there's going to be certain guys, for example, that like Troy Polamalu, for example. Troy Polamalu he is an obvious first ballot guy. It's obvious. He has the best shot of anybody. Maybe Patrick Willis after that, but I don't think. Okay? Because the 2021 group is Peyton Manning, Calvin Johnson, and Charles Woodson all eligible for the first time.
I'd say probably 2 out of those 3 could be first ballot. I'd say Manning and Woodson.
Yeah, and then we'll see about Calvin Johnson. But this year, Troy Polamalu is a lock.
This could be the shortest induction speech in Canton history.
but now you have an opportunity in 2020 to put 15 other guys in. And they're considering doing this. Okay? So they're going to do 20 inductees as their centennial class. This opens the door to me. This is the best possible chance Andy Russell has. But he's not the only guy. Here, let me throw some names at you that I think are intriguing names that need to be considered. Now, I'm not going to go back to the 20s. I'm not going to go back to the 30s and 40s here. So there may be a couple of guys that end up doing that. But let me give you a couple here along the way, that, and then maybe, and then let's see if you can add in somebody. All right? Cliff Branch. Could anybody stretch the field like Cliff Branch? Let's stick with the Raiders for a moment. How about Kenny Stabler? Obviously, Andy Russell. Drew Pearson. Wide out for the Cowboys. Drew Pearson. I'll give you one that Jackie Slater. Remember him? 20 years in the NFL as a starting tackle. 20 years. Really good outside linebacker. Really good outside linebacker by the name of Maxie Vaughn. Maxie Vaughn was a heck of a player with the Rams. I'm trying to think of Maxie Vaughn. Let's see. So Jackie Slater, Maxie Vaughn. Let me give you a couple of others here that are really, really good players. I mentioned Drew Pearson. Joe Klecko.
I can give you one, since we're now going offensive line. How about Joe Jacoby from the Hogs?
Joe Jacoby.
Redskins. That could be one.
Yeah.
Actually, when the first class that was inducted in 1963 had 17 go in.
Right.
So they were kicking around maybe going back to that legacy of maybe upping it to 17 rather than 20.
I'd go for 20 because you know what? Here's the reason why I go for 20. I think it's really important because there's always been this waiting game that has taken place. Okay? There's always been a waiting game that has taken place. You know, all right, let's talk about the suits guy for a moment. Okay? Jerome Bettis. Jerome Bettis, what was it? Was it the fifth year, sixth year before he got in? And part of it was, quote, his turn. Well, I think if they can go with as many guys as possible to get and go to 20 as a centennial class, I think that it would help clear up some of the backlog for the senior group. Like a Jimbo Covert, who was great with the Bears all those years. Tommy Nobis. Tommy Nobis was an all-60s decade player. After having a great college career at Texas, he was the first overall pick in the draft by the Atlanta Falcons. He made the all-decade team of the 60s, playing for the Atlanta Falcons, an expansion team. You know how hard that is to do? Let's see. How about, here's one for you. Cliff Harris, safety for the Cowboys. Randy Gradishar. Remember him with the Broncos? I mean, Cliff Branch I've talked about. Drew Pearson I've talked about. Kenny Stabler I've talked about. I don't know if this guy's Hall of Fame worthy or not. Maxie Vaughn I talked about. I don't know if this guy's Hall of Fame worthy or not. But Kenny Anderson, the quarterback of the Bengals. Very, very efficient. Very efficient. And I think there's several people that would love to see. I mean, Randy Gradishar would be a great pick. As another linebacker, Andy Russell. I hope Andy doesn't get lost in the wash even in this. I don't want Andy to end up being like Jerry Kramer. I mean, Kramer finally made it. But it took Jerry over 40 years. Remember we had Jerry on the day before? Remember Mike Curtis, the linebacker for the Colts? He would have to be considered. Don Coryell would have to be considered as a coach. Maybe Jimmy Johnson as a coach. You know, a lot of really great players out there, really good ones. That are, you know, there are only 318 people in the Hall of Fame. But there's been a backlog of veterans. I don't really think there are any Eagles that probably fall into this category.
Our buddy of the show, Tony from Shamokin, called up and kicked out Alex Karras and Joe Schmidt. Yeah.
Alex Karras and Joe Schmidt. Joe Schmidt was a heck of a player. Alex Karras, what always hurt him, oddly enough, didn't hurt Paul Hornung. They were both suspended the same year for gambling or on their own team. But Karras was a great player, and so was Joe Schmidt, both of the Detroit Lions. Outstanding. They certainly should be considered. So the guys I would think of right away, Alex Karras would be one. So I agree with that. Joe Schmidt's another one. That's legit. Cliff Harris, the Cowboys safety, if they expand this like they say to 20, I think he's going to be one of them. Drew Pearson, Cliff Branch, let's see, maybe Jackie Slater. There's also the coach Duke Slater from the 20s, by the way. He was the first African-American head coach. Well, actually, he was a finalist by 45 years ago. They're talking about, here's what they're talking about. They're talking about 5 modern-day players elected from 15 finalists, 10 seniors, 3 contributors, 2 coaches. Okay. Why Don Coryell might be one of those guys. But that's what they're talking about. And there's a lot of really good names out there. Really good names. It also would mean that you'd be sitting there waiting for a long time to go through the introductions and the speeches. Okay, here's another one that is not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Jim Marshall played 20 years in the league. Yeah, he's known for picking up the 49ers fumble and running it back for 2 points the other way. All right, okay, I got that. Jim Marshall was a heck of a player. But the bottom line is there have been so many good candidates over there. There's just more football players. Okay? There's just more players. When you have 45 on each team, you just got more players. Plus, you might have more deserving people. But to me, this would be Andy's best chance. And Andy deserves it. Andy should be. And I always hate when I hear the argument, well, there are too many Steelers or too many Packers or too many Cowboys. The Hall of Fame is an individual honor. Were you great? You know? Yeah, you ended up being surrounded by some really good players? Sure. That's fine. But... maybe you made them look good, too. Yeah, I think if you were to ask Roger Staubach, should Drew Pearson be in the Hall of Fame, I think Roger would probably tell you yes. You ask Jack Hamm if Andy Russell should be in the Hall of Fame, I definitely could tell you he'd say yes. Cliff Harris? I think a lot of people think Cliff Harris should be in the Hall of Fame. Cliff Branch. Why don't you ask any corner how much they enjoyed covering Cliff Branch? Kenny Stabler's not in. Is he a possibility? Tony brought up Alex Karras, absolutely right. And he brought up Joe Schmidt, another heck of a player, absolutely right. I mentioned Tommy Nobis. I mentioned Mike Curtis. Mike Curtis brought attitude to the linebacking spot for the Colts. Joe Klecko. Terrific player. Let's see. Chuck Mercine? No, I don't think so. No. Just having a little fun. Trying to think of anybody else that would really fall into that category. Trying to take out the modern player here. The modern era. Trying to think back a little bit. We talk about coaches, Don Coryell, Jimmy Johnson. Here's one for you. How about Buddy Parker? Buddy Parker was a heck of a coach a long time ago. He led the Detroit Lions to a championship. He must be good. But I think it brings with it some intriguing possibilities. I didn't get into one of the areas I wanted to talk about today. It was Brooks Koepka. I know it's golf. But the more I read about Koepka, the more I like him. You know what time he showed up for his tournament yesterday? He showed up 45 minutes before his tee time. Right? He said, I warmed up to the hotel. I lifted some weights. I felt great. He said, I didn't feel well. I'm sick. So they asked him about being sick, and he said, well, people go to work sick all the time. He said, it's no big deal. Right? Hates slow play. He understands. You get over the ball, you make a read, you hit it. Then all this, like, you got to go through your routine and blah, blah. Let's do everything we can to make the fan not want to go. Meanwhile, Koepka's the reason you want to go. He gets out there, plays great golf, moves, doesn't waste a lot of time. Okay. Back tomorrow. Neil Coulong on the show tomorrow. We're going to talk about the Steelers, about your team. Look at this, your team. Nice and calm, stoic, stayed. Guess who ran first team at corner yesterday? Come on, that's your team.
First team at cornerback.
Yeah.
Don't say Artie Burns.
Artie Burns, that's right. Good job, right.
Let's end the show on a great note.
Coulong tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, the best of the business. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Trust Purdy with all your insurance needs. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You want a car? Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.